My wife and I, we like to watch and listen to a lot of true crime kind of shows, podcasts, all that kind of stuff. We find it interesting just how they put the pieces of the puzzle together and figure out who did it at the end of the day. Well, last Sunday, we had watched a few of these kind of things and listened to a few of these kind of things, and we're like, you know, it's time to cleanse the palate here a little bit from the true crime stuff. And I found a show that was called The Secret of the Bees, and we watched that. We're beekeepers, so we thought that was kind of interesting to learn a few new things. And then after that, it just came up automatically that, hey, since you watch this show, you'd probably like this show. And this show is The Secret of the Penguins. And, like, penguins are so cute. How can you not? Go ahead, like, this is... Look at them. They're so cute. How can you not give a couple hours to watching and learning about penguins, right? So as we're watching this show and we're learning about penguins, they're actually kind of a fascinating creature and unit in a sense. As we were watching this, they were talking about the birthing process. And the mother will lay an egg, and once she's pregnant, though, first, this was kind of interesting, once she's pregnant, her and the male penguin will practice the delivery of the egg from the mom to the dad, because that has to happen in about 70 seconds in the Antarctic, or that egg will not hatch, because it'll be exposed to the elements too long. So they'll actually take like a little piece of snow or ice, and they'll practice this. And they caught it on video, and they were showing us this, and it was just fascinating. So what happens then is the female lays an egg. Within 70 seconds, it's transferred over to the male, and that's the next picture. You see the male then takes it and puts it up on his feet, and it goes underneath kind of a pouch, a brood pouch. And that's what keeps that egg warm then. For the next 6 to 8 weeks, the mom leaves. And she goes out and does all kinds of stuff. She goes, like, they say between 50 and 100 miles away. She has all kinds of, like, eating and replenishing of herself and her energy and her reserves in order to bring back to the hatch chick, which will take place in 6 to 8 weeks. For that 6 to 8 weeks, the dad stays there with all these other ones, and he doesn't eat. During that 6 to 8 weeks, he fasts, and his only job is to keep this egg alive, to keep it warm, to provide the warmth that is needed. Then what happens, and this was the fascinating part to me, was after 6 to 8 weeks, the female penguin comes back to this crowd of penguins. And as she's approaching, she starts to, and I don't know if this is the right word for it or not, but she starts to chirp. They're birds, so I'm going with the word chirp. She starts to chirp. She starts to make noise. And because he can recognize her chirp, the noise that she makes, the two of them are able to reunite together. In amongst all those, and let me tell you, those are not being quiet. This is a still photo. You get 1,000 or thousands of penguins together. There's a lot of noise going on there, a lot of chirping going on there, a lot of everything going on there. But yet he is able to distinctly pick out the voice of the mother of his chick that has just hatched out of the egg. The other penguins don't respond to her. They don't respond until their partner returns. So why don't the others respond? It's simple. They don't recognize her voice. Jesus says that's exactly what it's like for his people. In a world that's filled with noise, right? A world that's filled with opinions, with pressures, with distractions. Any of those in our lives? In a world that's filled with social media and breaking news and internal fears that we have, there is still one voice that can cut through it all. A voice that knows your name. A voice that leads, not confuses. It's a voice that brings peace into your life instead of panic. And the question is not, is God speaking? The question that we're working with today is, am I learning to recognize his voice? Or put differently, how do I hear God's voice? The truth is that God is speaking. The question is are we listening? And even more, are we learning to discern his voice from all the other voices? Heavenly Father, this morning, we quiet our hearts before you. Thank you for calling us by name and leading us with love and truth. Lord God, this morning, help tune our ears to hear you today. Let your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Heavenly Father, give us discernment, give us courage to obey and humility to listen. Calm what is anxious, correct what is wandering, comfort what is hurting. We want to hear your voice. We want to follow where you lead. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we are going to hear God's voice, we must begin where Jesus begins, with recognizing the voice of the shepherd. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning is, number one, the shepherd's voice is personal and recognizable. The shepherd's voice, God's voice, is personal and recognizable. So I'm going to have you turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. It's going to be page 759 if you're using one of the Bibles that's underneath the chair in front of you. Otherwise, it's John chapter 10. Picking up at verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. God does not speak randomly. He speaks relationally. He calls his sheep by name. That means that his voice is not distant. His voice is personal. His voice, it's not confusing, but it's recognizable. His voice is caring. It's not cold. And if you notice the progression here of Jesus' words, it says that the sheep listen. It's how it starts. And then he calls, and then he leads, and then they follow because they know his voice. That word, know, because he knows their voice. It's a powerful word. It implies that they are familiar, and that familiarity is built up over time. It's not a one-time experience, but it's a growing relationship that allows them to know his voice. Hearing God's voice, it's not about mastering a technique. That's not what I'm going to be teaching this morning. Here is your one technique to hear God's voice in your life. Hearing God's voice is about deepening a relationship. Just like you can recognize your spouse's voice in a crowd of people. Just like you can pick out your child's cry from all the other children that are crying maybe in the nursery. They're not crying in the nursery though, because the kids love being there. Just like you can recognize your best friend's voice when there's a whole group of people gathered together. That recognition, right? That comes from spending time with each other. The exact same thing is true in our spiritual lives. Spiritual familiarity will produce spiritual clarity in being able to hear God's voice. Studies have shown that newborn babies, and this isn't new to us. This isn't some new study that's out there. This is old information. Newborn babies recognize their mother's voice at birth or even before birth. During the last trimester of pregnancy, they say about 25 to 30 weeks, a baby's hearing becomes developed enough to be able to pick up sounds from outside the womb. The mother's voice in particular is heard constantly. Why? Because women say four times as many... I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gone there. The mother's voice is heard constantly because she is carrying this child with her. Mother's voice is heard both externally and through the vibrations inside her body, so it becomes so familiar to that child. A baby recognizes its mother's voice because they hear it over and over repeatedly during those last weeks of pregnancy. In the same way, the more constantly we are exposed in our lives, in our habits, in how we spend our time to God's voice, the more naturally we will recognize it. The great thing about God's voice is that it often brings into our lives, it will bring peace, it will bring conviction. And that's a good thing for us, right? I didn't say condemnation. Condemnation, like, that seeks to imprison us in guilt and despair. That's not good. That's not healthy. That's not from God. Conviction is God's loving invitation to experience His grace and renewal in our lives. So when we can hear God's voice, it often brings peace. It often brings conviction. It often brings clarity to our lives. You don't learn a voice in just moments of crisis. You learn it in moments of consistently being with that person. Sometimes we assume that hearing God should feel like really dramatic, right? Like it needs to be this big moment that's unmistakable. But so often, His voice is just gentle and it's just steady in our lives. The prophet Elijah did not hear God's voice in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, right? But in the still, small voice. And that should remind us that God's voice is often quiet. And if that's the case, it requires our attentiveness. If our lives are constantly filled with noise, we may just miss what God is already saying. Developing space in our lives through stillness, through reflection, through intentional time with Him, it helps us become more aware of His presence. Over time, what once felt unclear becomes familiar. And what once seemed distant becomes personally deep. So if God's voice is personal and recognizable, the next question becomes this: where do we possibly hear it clearly? How can we hear God's voice? What's the source of hearing God's voice? And that leads us to number two, God's word. It's a primary way that He speaks to us. Psalm 119, verse 105. It's a short verse, but such a great word to us. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Your word, God's word, is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. These are not meant to just be displayed on our coffee tables and bedside stands. We have to understand and recognize that God's word, it's not just information. God's word is illumination, a light that gives us our next step, a light that gives direction for the path that we're on, the direction that we're heading in. As God gives us light, he often gives enough light to obey, but not always enough light for us to be able to predict what's up around the corner. Isn't that right? Like, he'll give us enough light to just make a decision for today, but not necessarily for 3 weeks down the road. It's kind of like when we drive our cars at nighttime, right? Your headlights, they show you just as far as those headlights will reach, but you certainly don't get to see your whole journey when you turn your headlights on. They allow you just to see the next stretch of road, but that's enough for us to keep on driving. We don't say that because I'm unable to see the whole trip that I'm going to go on with my headlights that I'm just going to stop and not do anything. No, we continue driving into what we can see so we can see the next thing. God's word should be used to anchor our decisions, to filter competing voices in our minds and to illuminate our next steps in life. It's so important to always remember when thinking about God speaking to you. This is the importance of God's word being used as a tool of him speaking to you, right? God, what you think you are hearing God say to you, will never contradict his word. So if you think you're hearing God say something to you and it contradicts what God's word says, you are not hearing God speak to you. God will never contradict his word. Scripture is not just a book that we read. It's a voice that we can learn to recognize. The more time that we spend in God's word, the more we begin to think like him, to value what he values and discern what is true. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts." This verse reminds us that the word of God is living and active. It's able to judge the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. That means that when we read Scripture, God is not silent. He is actively shaping us. He is speaking to us. Even when a passage feels familiar, maybe you've had this happen to you. It's kind of fun when it happens. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just brings like this fresh insight into what you're reading at the exact moment that you need it. It's a passage that you've read dozens or hundreds of times maybe. But this time, because of what you're experiencing, you just get this different insight from it. You and I being consistently in Scripture, it builds a foundation so strong that when life becomes uncertain, We're just not easily shaken. But even with Scripture, I think we sometimes ask, am I understanding God's voice correctly? I think that that's where we often find that God provides confirmation to us. He does it in a whole bunch of different ways. I'm just going to pick on a couple of them this morning. But number three is God confirms his voice oftentimes through prayer and through wise counsel. If you're taking notes, write down these three verses, and there's a whole bunch of verses that all line up with this exact thought of God confirms his voice through prayer and wise counsel. But one of them that I want to just bring to light this morning is James chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you lack wisdom, come to God. Ask God. Spend time praying to God, and he will give you wisdom. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Or just back a couple pages in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, for lack of guidance a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. It's this idea of having people that give us wise counsel into our lives. I don't believe that God ever intended for discernment to happen in isolation. Without guidance, we often tend to drift. With guidance, we move with a purpose. Prayer, it has this way of aligning our hearts with God. Wise counsel can be used to reveal blind spots and to confirm direction in our lives from people that we trust, that we know are following God themselves and have the same hopes and desires for your obedience to God as you have. That's the wise counsel you seek. Months and months ago, we had a clock radio up on the platform, if you remember, and I was tuning in a radio station, right? And that's what it's kind of like, is prayer and seeking wise counsel is kind of like tuning in that radio station to just bring clarity to what it is that you're seeking counsel about, to what it is that you're asking God about. If what you believe that God is speaking to you about is from God, it will be confirmed through different avenues. Prayer, wise counsel might be part of those avenues in your journey. But without a doubt, if you believe that God is speaking to you, it will align with Scripture. Without a doubt. Oftentimes, it will be affirmed in prayer. It will be confirmed through counsel. And oftentimes, when we take those steps into that next little piece of the journey that he illuminates for us, it will also be confirmed through spiritual fruit of what we're doing. One of the most important aspects of prayer is not just asking God for direction, but learning to listen in his presence. As we pray, we begin to sense what aligns with his heart and what does not align with his heart. At the same time, wise counsel protects us from misinterpreting our own desires as God's voice. Proverbs like consistently highlights the value of seeking input from other people that are walking closely with God. I just shared two of many passages with you this morning. The wise counsel I'm talking about, they are people who will not simply affirm what you want to hear, or what I want to hear. But they're people that will speak truth with grace. When multiple sources, scripture, prayer, counsel, begin to kind of point in the same direction, I think that we can at that point then begin to move forward with a much greater confidence that what we sense we're hearing God say is what he's actually saying. Once we recognize and we anchor and we confirm God's voice, I think there's one final step that I want to just touch on briefly this morning. And that's number four. Hearing God's voice, it requires us to be obedient. In James 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. So this is one of the tools that we use. God's word is one of the tools that we use to be able to hear his voice. It's not about just simply listening to the word. It's about doing what it says. Hearing without obeying, it leads to spiritual dullness in our lives. Obedience leads to even more clarity in our lives. We can hear truth and still miss the transformation piece because obedience is what ends up changing us. Clarity is experienced through our actions. As I said earlier, right? Just like headlights at nighttime, God gives us enough light just to keep us moving in the right direction. You don't grow in discernment by waiting. You grow by walking in what you know already. In order to know more of the greater journey God has in mind for you or for me, we must walk in the light that he is already giving us. He's already providing for us. The rest of the journey will become illuminated as we proceed forward in that. Is there a step in your life that you need to be taking in order to be obedient to God? That you've been hesitating on, and maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to you today and saying, take that step. I know it's scary because you don't know the whole path I'm taking you on. But I'm calling you to be obedient in that first step. Because obedience is where faith becomes visible. It's one thing to agree with God's word, to read through and say, oh yeah, that makes total sense, right? There's such wisdom in God's word, but it's another thing to act on God's word. Often complicated. Often it's kind of simple, but can be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's more complicated. But oftentimes it might find that it's the need to forgive somebody. Maybe it's the need to be obedient into stepping into a new opportunity in life that we've been resisting. Maybe it's the need to let go of something in our lives that is just something that we're familiar and comfortable with, so we default to it. Being obedient will stretch us. But each step of obedience strengthens our confidence in God's voice. And over time, obedience becomes less about obligation and more about trust. We begin to see that God's direction is not restrictive, but God's direction is actually life-giving for us. And as we follow, our ability to recognize his voice just becomes clear. So this morning, I want to leave us with some application, some things to consider in your own personal life. And in the worship center this morning, people at home that are watching, like we are all at different places in regards to how we hear God's voice. Some might be saying, I don't think I've ever heard God speak to me. And others are like, man, he like never stops. He's constantly telling me stuff. And we're all at different places, right? I want to leave us with what I think is maybe some practical steps to consider this week in just being able to hear God's voice. First, it starts with just spending time in Scripture. Uninterrupted, intentional time with God. Seems easy until we get to Monday and the chaos of life begins its cycle again for the week. Uninterrupted time in Scripture, consider it. Whether it be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or 30 minutes. Uninterrupted time in prayer. And more specifically, about something that you need God to speak to you on. What's going on in your life right now that you wish that you could just say, hey, let's meet at City Watch in 10 minutes and have a coffee together. So you just pick his mind as to what he's thinking for your life in regards to this area. That's what I want you to be praying about this week. Specifically praying about that daily. Consider identifying somebody and maybe even taking the step of going to somebody for wise counsel. Somebody that you trust, somebody that you know has made God the same priority in their life that he is in yours. And ask them about your situation. Ask them to pray along with you. But whatever it is that's on your heart, to join you in that journey and open the door for them to be able to speak into it. And if it leads this week, next week, next month to a clear step that needs to be taken, be obedient in that and do it. Take the step. You don't need to see the whole journey. We go to our GPSs all the time, right? And our GPSs just tell us the next turn. That's it. And I will drive for hundreds of miles having no clue the route I'm going to be going. But I trust that my next turn is in 5 miles. And I follow those instructions every time. Why do we do it so different when it comes to God? We want the whole picture. Just take the next step of obedience. And then trust that God is going to illuminate the rest of the path as need be. Don't wait for the certainty. Don't keep waiting for the full set of instructions to be revealed before you take that step and trust. And you're going to see his faithfulness. You're going to see his faithfulness. Now, this is just perfect timing, in my opinion. This is God timing, in my opinion. Last fall, somebody that their parents used to attend our church and have both passed away wanted to make a donation to the church and designated it to be put towards use to creating a prayer room, a prayer space. And some of you have maybe seen that in the old library, we've been working away at a project the last month. Well, it is open as of this morning, which I think is just perfect timing. You need to go into that prayer room at some point in the next few weeks and just look at it and just experience it for a moment. The atmosphere that has been created in there is just peaceful, and quiet, and calming. And here's the reason why I share this with you, because I know from life that we go home, and some of you go home to very busy schedules. Some of you go home to 3, 4, 5 kids that are all pulling at mom and dad's attention, and these things that I've spoken of today as possible application pieces to what we're talking about are just near impossible if we're being realistic, right? Like, let's be realistic. As soon as you close that door, somebody's pounding on the door. And that uninterrupted time of reading scripture, that uninterrupted time of prayer, it's not going to happen because it's just the reality. So here's what I would love to offer up to you this week. Is if it's impossible for you to get that at home, come to the church and use the prayer room. And like anytime you want. So here's how we'll do this for this week. Is you can either email me and I will make sure that you have a way into the church at the time that works for you to be able to get into the church. So if that's at 2 a.m, you'll let yourself in and I'll give you a code and all that. But you can do it at 2 a.m. The prayer room will be up and running and ready for you and just waiting for you. Or you can text me and I will gladly get you access to the building as well. And if you need my number, write this down. If you take notes and you need my number, here's my number. I'm going to give it to you right now so that if you need access to just have some time to be able to read God's word, spend some time in prayer, you can do that uninterrupted right here at the church. And I tell you, you are going to love it. You're going to want to keep coming back to that room. So 717-389-5204, 717-389-5204. Just shoot me a text and we'll make arrangements that you can get into the church and use that prayer room at any point this week. 717-389-5204. Obviously, as we close our service, the prayer room's open now. So we'll have deacons in there that would love to pray with you. If you would like somebody to pray with you, if you just want to go in there, have some time by yourself, you can do that as well. But it is open. Real quickly, directions to it are a little bit different than it used to be. It used to be through those doors across the hall and you're there. You're going to go out the back doors, turn right, and look for signs. Go to the end of the hall and turn left, and you'll see prayer room signs. Kim's done a great job of putting signs up all over the place. And if you need to spend just a moment with God this morning, go as we're singing the last hymn, go when we're done the last hymn, go whenever you want. During the week, email me, text me, whatever you need to do. Heavenly Father, thank you that you still speak. Thank you that you know us, that you call us, that you lead us. Help us to recognize your voice above all the noise of this world. Help us to be people that intentionally make space, quiet space, just for you. So that we can learn to recognize your voice even greater. Give us courage to obey what you reveal to us. Shape our hearts to trust you step by step, Lord God. Use our lives to point others to the shepherd who calls them by name as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.